This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
But well worth it for so many because they're going back home or they're going somewhere else to visit family or just hanging out. Whatever the reason, it is almost Turkey Day. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, what are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? That's what people do. They reflect and they think about it. I'm thankful for this audience. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to flooding me with emails, boy, you do it each and every year. We're in year 16, hard to believe. Throughout the course of 16 years, I have certainly had my Thanksgiving travel, and then before that, but the airlines are now looking at an interesting window of time. It's going to be crowded. Will it be as chaotic as the summer? They're hoping not. I think all of a sudden more people realize, oh, the world's open back up and I can travel somewhere, and there are some cheap flights. So, since Thursday, more than 2 million people per day have passed through Transportation Security Administration checkpoints in the U.S., and then there was 2.4 million on Friday. Wednesday is usually a crazy day before Thanksgiving, and it's a real test for airlines and the recovery period and travelers getting to their destinations on time. And we saw what the summer was like, so hopefully it's not going to be that kind of a travel nightmare for a lot of people because it was very rocky. And Sunday is, besides Wednesday, Sunday is always super busy, one of the busiest days for travel, period. 2.5 million could pass through TSA gates. United has already said they had to add 275 flights to their schedule because they have almost 500,000 passengers booked. Wow. That's good business, but it's also scary, right? Because of, you think of all the possibilities of from point A to point B and then somewhere in between. It's interesting, the average fare, domestic fare, if you track it, is it about $3.25? So a little bit more than last time, last year, $2.68 is what it was before, but the holiday season hopefully goes smoothly, and it starts with Turkey Day, really, and then you move past that to the Christmas holidays and Hanukkah, etc., and whatever anybody celebrates. And we've got some busy airports, like Atlanta is one of the busiest airports in the U.S., and several major airlines are having contentious sort of contract negotiations with the pilots. So there is a slight prospect of a strike, but it's expected not to happen. Supposedly, there'll be double-digit pay raises, and, you know, you've got the airlines paying more for fuel and supplies, but even if they're not in a union, the deal looks to be a lot sweeter. I think they'll really push to be in that union, however, to create a union. Sad story over the weekend. It's the Colorado shooting. There was confusion. There was the pop, pop, pop sound. There was flight and panic. And then there were moments of, you know, people being heroic to help other people. For 21 years, Club Q was simply tucked behind the Subway sandwich shop on what we all see as suburban strip areas, 6 miles from downtown Colorado Springs. So people of all ages, etc., gathered. There were all kinds of people, even though this was known as a you know, a club that catered to the gay community, it did draw heterosexuals and lots of other kinds of people that went there to dance and went there because they knew people in the community, that kind of thing. It was a nightclub and it was a dancing place and that was it. And so in a matter of seconds, and that's all it took, somebody shows up with a rifle, kills 5 people, injures 18 others, and it really rocked the city. I mean, Colorado Springs is a city of a lot of social conservatives and evangelical Christian organizations, and then it's also got its liberal areas too as well. There was confusion, there was panic, there were people trying to help other people, there were people running for their lives, like I was describing at the beginning of this. So the DJ was shot twice in the back, for example. You had other people that were hit randomly. It's something, you know, bullet bounced off of the tables or something else and then hit them. But all of the responders that could respond got there as fast as possible. And so many people made it in time to hospitals, local hospitals, and that is a very, very good, good thing. They also identified the suspect, 22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldrich. He is from Colorado Springs. He wasn't somebody who went into the club before. They're investigating him for a couple of different things, being charged with committing a biased, motivated crime would be one of the charges, and there will be other specific charges as he gets out of the hospital. But you had 39 police officers, 34 firefighters, and 11 ambulances that arrived at the club as fast as they could, and they really helped a lot of people. You know, got people into cruisers, sped them to hospitals, and that saved some lives. So the immediate response is a very, very good thing. It still is a sad community with heavy hearts because they weren't, who's expecting this? It's a place where lots of people have gone through the doors. They weren't expecting that to happen. And sure enough, it did. We saw this before in the LGBTQ community when in Orlando there was an attack 6 years ago and, more than 50 people were injured, 49 people died. So in this case, because some people acted quickly, like I said, a lot of lives were saved, so it's a different story. To tweet or not to tweet, how important is your Twitter handle to you? Are you somebody who tweets or checks on Twitter a lot? Twitter is good for warnings for lockdowns and shootings on campuses and whatnot. There's some people who don't want to go back to Twitter because of what's happening with Elon Musk. Will Twitter even be around a year from now? Just questions I'm pondering next.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word BIMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Yesterday, the U.S. men's national team in World Cup action in Qatar, they tied Wales. They were beating them 1-0, and then, dang, they got in at the last second. So, it ended with a 1-1, 1-1. So the U.S. men's team, of course, in Group B has a very tall task. England on Friday. England, by the way, demolished Iran 6-2. So lots of people would have heard about that through Twitter. Now you have people that are fleeing Twitter and news organizations that say, I don't know if we want to still be on Twitter. Is it relevant? Is it going to matter? How soon does that sucker collapse since Elon Musk has had this massive meltdown and he can barely get anyone to work for him? So CBS just said, no more tweets. Because that became a thing that became part of a job for a lot of people, that they had to do updates. They had to go to Twitter. They had to let people know because you had to build up your Twitter followers. It's a big deal. And now it may be for naught because Twitter, who knows again if it will survive. Donald Trump's been invited back, his account activated. He says he can care less. Kathy Griffin, same thing, the comedian, they were both bounced off of Twitter, but they've had their accounts restored if they want to go back and join the Twittersphere, so to speak. But even there are now stories about how to download your tweets in case Twitter shuts down permanently, because so many people use this as their mode of transportation and connected with people that way. It was the town square. But what happens when Twitter goes down? Politicians, government departments, embassies, the list is on and on and on. It goes on and on, seriously. So how do you download your tweets? It's weird because Elon Musk paid $44 billion for Twitter, so I think the incentive for him would be big to prevent the collapse. There are a lot of fears with employees quitting. He's been there less than a month. The staffing level is ridiculous. Roughly half the staff was initially cut in half anyway by the rounds of layoffs. And then his announcement last week that all workers would be required to return to the office infuriated some of the staff. Then he had an ultimatum telling employees that they had to commit to a new hardcore Twitter or leave the company with severance pay, and that they had until 5 o'clock on Thursday to let them know if they were going to go hardcore or not. But hundreds of Twitter employees decided to take the severance instead of staying. They didn't want to deal with Elon Musk. It's even very unclear how many actually remained. Right? So download your info, because if it conks out, it conks out. I mean, look, some political people and others are making preparations in case that happens. Even like offices of emergency management, people went to Twitter to find out if there was something going on. So what would the alternatives be? It's interesting because we had him on the show, Gary V, a big influencer, I'll call him an influencer. One of the things he said, and he said this to me, don't get married to the space, meaning the platform. So Twitter is a great example of that, because then look what happens. Look what happens when you believe in crypto so bad and FTX. FTX says it owes more than $3 billion to creditors. This is the crypto exchange that collapsed because of a liquidity crisis earlier this month. 10 of the creditors are owed at least $100 million. All of this came to light after a filing in the U.S. bankruptcy court in Delaware last Saturday. So it looked like, okay, it's only a three-year-old company, so who invested serious money? 50 creditors are owed $3.1 billion. Woo! The largest due $226 million. But, you know, FTX had gotten a bunch of capital from investment firms. BlackRock, Tiger Global, the Ontario Teachers Pensions Fund. Yikes. There were paid sports sponsorships. The National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball. So they're in trouble. Not that we didn't know that, but untangling all those obligations could be incredibly tricky. And so what happened is retail customers are also going to be joining creditors, waiting for the court to divvy up assets. They've seen their accounts frozen. In a filing last week, FTX revised the number of potential creditors from 100,000 to 1 million. Do they even know what's what? I mean, that's the question I have. They were not on top of it at all. So pulling that apart is what's going to be so, so difficult, because they were so far from being organized. It was like they were in ice cream trucks driving around. Hey, you want to be part of our exchange? We promise it's going to be really, really good. All right, it's a tradition, but it happened at the White House. First, the tree gets delivered. Then the president pardons two turkeys. The first dog apparently was barking its head off and didn't like it, but Chocolate and Chip, two big turkeys who were, I don't know, did they realize that they weren't going to get meet the fate of so many others? Maybe. They were pardoned, though. It's one of those traditional things that happens every season, and it's kind of part of the National Turkey Federation. And that's one of the things that started a long, long time ago. So these turkeys were pardoned. Nobody can get their hands on this, on these turkeys. And I guess it was a really bright, pretty day. So a good day for those pardons and a good day for the tree to arrive. Fake or real, we always do this thing, taking an unofficial poll. Do you like the fake tree because it's less work? And maybe it's not less work for some people. I think it is. Or the live tree, which, you know, it's always that thing about getting it in the water and setting it up and making sure it's straight and not having the needles fly off and all that good stuff. It's a challenge. But it looks so good. Once you get it up and it looks good, there's no denying it. There is your Christmas tree. And there's something about the smell of a Christmas tree when it really has that odor. It feels like you're out in the forest. So that is really, really, to me, is really, really a good benefit. Let's put it that way. It's a good, good, good benefit. I mentioned a World Cup, and there's no way to completely measure it, but the interesting thing is how many college campuses, how many people in between with flexible hours are watching the U.S. men compete. And the answer is, I think it has to be pretty good. I've heard a lot of people throughout the day talking about the Wales and the matchup, talking about what Team USA did and the great goaltending and the hustle and all of that. So the U.S. team wants to keep going, but there are certainly rosters filled with some incredible, incredible players, and it's a tall, tall task for the men to be able to win this. It's not impossible. Nothing's impossible. They're going to get that big test, like I said, on Friday when they meet the UK, which has a really solid, solid, solid team. When I say solid, I mean they're really tough to stop. What happens when you get called back from a board of a really famous company, even though you're retired, and you think, I've been there, I've done that, and I'm ready to move on? We'll find out. Bob Iger, out of retirement, now running Disney again for 2 years. The Magic Kingdom has problems. Can he fix them? We'll see. Meet you on the flip side.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
Ford Motor Company is recalling over 630,000 SUVs worldwide because a cracked fuel injector can spill fuel or leak vapors onto a hot engine and cause fires. The recall covers Bronco, Sport, and Escape SUVs from the model years 2020 through 2023. Ford said it's received 20 reports of fires How long are those Thanksgiving leftovers good for? According to foodsafety.gov, if stored properly, your food can last for up to 3 or 4 days in the fridge. So about the end of the weekend. Mickey Coon, a former child actor and the last surviving credited cast member of Gone with the Wind, has passed away in Florida. He was 90 years old and is survived by his wife and 2 children. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
All right, crew, let's get her done.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Next author, Toni Jackson. She's written an important book, Secrets Within the Soul. And so much is wrapped up into this that can help teenagers, pre-teenagers, when you're talking about sex trafficking, date rape, terrible, terrible things, the selling of human beings. So, Toni, first question, why'd you write this book?
So, basically, I have been a social worker for over 12 years, so I encounter a lot of preteens, teens seeing situations when it came to date rape, sex trafficking, runaways. And we also had to have training. And one of the trainings that was offered was the sex trafficking and things of that sort and sex abuse, which is included in that. And as we continued to move forward and we saw the teenagers maybe run away or not want to be in placement because it was children and family and youth. And the children, the teenagers wouldn't stay a lot of times because they felt like they had someone that was going to love them. But as you were able to watch, you were able to see a lot of times it was because they thought that person loved them. And it was someone that was giving them money and things of that sort, which equals to the things that we were taught about with trafficking.
Is it worse than people know?
Yes, it is.
And is that because the vulnerability, like you're saying, that, you know, they're young, impressionable, looking for love, don't know, that kind of thing?
You know, that's some of it. Some of it may even be, and when I speak of this topic, I'm thinking worldwide. it may be that the young teenagers may get caught up with who they may feel as though is a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and they have someone that's going to love them. But then you have other places where there may be seen as prey, young prey without any ideas, and they're taken away from their families. Families oftentimes in other countries may sell their children for monies because of their level of poverty, and they may need the monies to be able to support the rest of the family. There are a lot of dynamics behind whether they are knowing or not.
Oh, what a terrible, terrible thing. And again, the name of the book, Secrets Within the Soul. Tell us more about what's in the book.
Okay, so one of the stories lines is based around date rape. Date rape is something that happens often, and for young adults as well as adults, it may encounter something of the sort, but what happens is that you brush it off because, oh, he didn't mean it, or she didn't mean it, or whoever the person is doing it. But if you are totally against it, that is a no. No is no, and you should never be taken advantage of, especially if it's forced. It should not be, and it should be reported. But the thing is, what I've seen in my research is when going to the authorities, sometimes they may not even believe it. Especially if you say it is someone that you knew. And you may not even think of it, but sometimes you can hear women talk about their husbands doing things to them that they did not care to be done.
Mm.
If it's forced, it's not good. Whether it's your husband, whether it's your wife, it's not good. It should be a loving situation. If something is forced, it's not loving. And then on the other side of that, we're talking about the sex trafficking. Sex trafficking is also included within the book, giving you storylines of how individuals can get caught in the trafficking or maybe taken off guard. And then there's information in there that's educational to show how you can get the help that is needed. And what else is in there is talking about once someone is in it, it's hard for them to get out. It may be that their life is on the line, because once someone is having control over you that way, it's a financial issue that you're looking at, and they're afraid to lose that finance that's coming in from doing what they've done in situations with the young women being available to John, so to speak. So yeah. The information in there is also talking about how young women, mostly young women in the book, they might fall into eating disorders, mental health issues. There's just so many things that it can come from, but there is information in there to show where they can get help and the steps that they need to take, because sometimes it's a cycle before it's completely caught on as to how they need to do it and what they need to do to stay in that cycle of healing, because that's what it's all about, teaching and showing how you can become healed and get away from it, if at all possible.
We're speaking with Toni Jackson, and again, her book, Secrets Within the Soul. And it's so tough when you think about it. You're talking about cycle, and you saw this as a social worker. It's so tough to break that cycle, isn't it?
Yes, it's hard. They may start out, and they may have all good intentions, but they may have some luring. It may be that they're... John is calling them back on the cell phone, and they feel like they owe them something, because a lot of times there's some mind control going on, too. They may have something being said to them, well, you know, I love you. I didn't mean it. Come on back. I miss you. Not realizing that they might be coming back into a trap, and sometimes they may even be trapped by selling the drugs for them that they may have. Saying, oh, this money is for you, I'm doing all this for you, but you owe me. They may even take a jail sentence for them because they said, you owe me. It's a lot of things behind it. So once you get a chance to read, it'll shed some more light on those things that are behind the scenes that not many people were talking about. And that's one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to talk more about it within the book, because I believe the blowhorn needs to be sound. And yes, it is kind of late in the game, so to speak, but for our teenagers that are teenagers right now, but if we can get this out there and keep it moving for the younger children coming up 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 years old and so on, before they get to be teenagers, they have information available to them more readily than is already, because that's not something you can just go in the store and see reading on the shelf in the bookstore, as you may see other topics, the horror movies, the thrillers and things like that. So you don't see it as often. You don't hear it as often. It's almost like it's a taboo. You don't want to talk about it. But if this information can get out there, get into recreation centers, maybe into elementary and junior high schools and high schools where they have auditorium assemblies, having different ones come in and talk to them about it and being more in depth, just even knowing the last time I Googled, it said it was more than an estimated more than 50,000 people a year that are caught in sex trafficking. But they don't have an actual amount of people because it's hard to track, because it's an underground thing. It's behind the scenes. It's not something that's up close and personal, up front and in your face. And that's pretty much what I would like to see it, to come out into the open where it's more talk about it, so that the individuals and people around us are knowing about it. We can teach our children, we can teach our grandchildren what to look out for, how to be aware, more aware than they are. Young people today are very aware, but make them aware about this type of topic that you don't necessarily hear them talking about. Some of them say, wow, I didn't know that. They need to know.
Yeah, they need to know.
It's not fair to them.
Yeah, they so need to know. Secrets Within the Soul, that's the name of the book. And you're saying this, but what do you hope the big takeaways are for people listening to this that go and get your book?
Well, read it and pass the word. It's not just a thing of buying a book. Take the information. Run with it. I can try to be as much of a blowhorn as possible, but let's all be that blowhorn. Let's be helpers with each other, that we can show and take care for enough for these young people and even young adults, that they won't get trapped by not being aware. And hopefully maybe it can get into the recreation centers. Maybe we have some more programs out here that are a lot more prevalent and loud spoken, so to speak. Say, okay, this is the program for this trafficking or date rape or something to that effect. Perhaps corporations will get involved where they say, okay, let's do this thing, because this is something that's big that we're not talking about. If you think about it, back when Harry Weinstein, to reference that what happened in Hollywood with his actresses, that was very quietly kept until they blew the horn, and then all of a sudden everybody was talking about it. But now it's somewhat of a, it's kind of quiet again.
Yeah.
It should never get quiet. This is an everyday, all day long situation in many people's lives. It's not one particular time that this happens. It needs to continue moving forward.
I love what you just said. It should never get quiet. That sums the whole thing up. Tony, where can people get your book?
Okay, right now it's at Barnes & Noble, and it's also on Amazon.
Amazon. And you have a website. Tell us your website.
Yes. My website is Bam Bam Enterprises. I'm going to spell it for you because it's a tad different than what normally people would spell. It's BAMBAMENTRIZES. BamBamEnterprises.com.
Excellent. Tony, keep blowing that horn and we'll do it for you as well. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original Pure Palo de Arco Super Tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Palo de Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Palo de Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Kenneth Souza joins us. The name of his book, Mandar of Atlantis. He's got an interesting background. He won all kinds of awards in his career for audiovisual programs. He wrote, he produced, he directed a drama show on Boston television. And now he's living in Florida and living a good life and writing. And Mandar of Atlantis is his first book in a trilogy about the adventures of Mandar. Kenneth, thanks for joining us. How did you come up with the idea for Mandar of Atlantis?
I read a lot of books about Edgar Cayce. He was a psychic back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. And what people would do would send him a letter saying what their illness was. And he'd go into a trance and fix their illness, tell them how to fix it. And he would then tell them about their past lives. And a lot of them had past lives in Atlantis. And I have like five books of it. And they talk about what Atlantis was like, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I had been down in Mexico in the pyramids, and Cayce had said there was, in the pyramids in Central America, there was a information leading to Atlantis coming there. And I went through almost all of the pyramids. And in the pyramids in Palenque, Mexico, I found, people have probably seen it on TV, a sarcophagus with a man flying a rocket ship on the sarcophagus. It was done like it was done with a computer. It was much nicer than the rest of the Mayan things. And I really felt that that was my clue to Atlantis being in Central America. That's how I built the story.
Wow, so tell us about this story. We don't want to give everything away, but tell us about the story.
The story itself starts off, it's a trilogy, so the first one is Mandar of Atlantis, so it's basically introducing you to Mandar. And the way I do that is that he's flying his airship to pick up two aliens in Europeans, actually, in Euroland, and he's diverted to Angoland, where there's an evil priest and his mother who want to use Selena, one of the couple, a female. He wants to use her to take into the underworld, another dimension, and take out an army of unearthlings to take over Atlantis, and Manda has to put a stop to that.
Ooh, so what is your main character, Manny Silva, like?
Manny Silva is sort of like a, it's, according to Casey, the Atlanteans were American Indians, although they're not really dressed that much like American Indians. They are built and look like American Indians, but they wear more modern type clothes because Edgar Casey says that Atlantis was a high-tech community. They had flying ships. They had ships going across the sea. They had set up colonies. They had built pyramids, and they taught other small countries because, like, the Europeans were still wearing furs at that time. This is over 14,000 years ago. And they taught them how to build pyramids, and pyramids all over the world were used for communication. And that's one of the Atlantean things. So Mandar goes through many adventures in the first book. It's an exciting book, and it's a page-turner. So people would love to read it, and I'm more than halfway through the second book, which is called Atlant.
Ooh, and give us a little sneak peek of that. Where will that take us?
That takes off when Mandar brings the pair back to Atlantis to talk about how they should fight the war with the beasts. There's a war with these giant beasts going on. And the Europeans had been pretty good at keeping the beasts at bay. So he takes Selena and her husband, Kirak, back to Atlantis, and then they go one adventure after another in order to save Atlantis. I don't want to say too much about the book, so you can read it for yourself, but that's basically what's going on.
All right, and we're going to remind everybody, of course, you can get Mandar of Atlantis, the first one, and you can get that on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I'm curious about your writing process. When did you decide to become a writer?
I decided back in 1973. I was working in the sheet metal business, a union construction job, and I was making a lot of money, but I got laid off during a recession, and they called me back and asked me to come back into the sheet metal business because they'd wanted me to redraw some sheet metal in a hospital. And I said, no, I'm not going back to work at that, which I never really liked it. I did it for 6 years. I said, I'm not working again till I know what I want to do. And about, I had been writing poetry and things like that. And in about 3 months, I decided I want to be a writer. So I went from making $400 a week to nothing other than unemployment. So, but I decided to be a writer, and I fought through it with many types of jobs. Down through the years, up until 1992, I got 100% disability from the Vietnam War.
Yeah, so tell us about the Vietnam War experience. How did that affect your writing?
I think it gives me the power, I guess you would say, to want to keep going. And I thought at first that I'd try this for 25 years. If I didn't sell anything big, I would do something else. But I think that because of the war, I just felt I had to finish what I started, and I continued writing books. And I'm on my halfway through my eighth book now.
Wow, eight books. What was it like when you did your first book? Take us back to that moment.
Could you say that one more time?
Sure. Your first book, what was that like?
The first book, I wrote three books before I went to Boston University and picked up a degree in communications. First book was basically a story about a man telling the world that we are one. The world is one. And I do it in a more poetic form from beginning to end, except that the character dies of a heart attack at the very end while he's telling everyone around him that we are one. The world is one with everything. And that was my general theme in my first three books.
Wow. We go back to Mandar of Atlantis, and now you're halfway through this second one. Ultimately, what do you hope people take away from reading the trilogy?
I believe, especially by the third book, you're going to see that there's more than human beings that are intelligent in the world. And I don't want to tell you the whole story right now, but Mandar does have to go to what they call Mu, which is Lemuria in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And to the people in Atlantis, that was like the lost continent, of Atlantis, except to them it was the lost continent of Mu. He has to go there, and he finds out that it's in another dimension. There's ways that he finds out how to get to that dimension, but he has to fix the Muvians. They're in a civil war, and if they destroy themselves, Earth will be destroyed because the thought forms of the Muvians created Earth. So in order to save him and his all of us, he has to fix what's going on in Lemuria. That's the third book.
Wow. Was it fun for you to do this? Did you enjoy the process of writing these books?
I do now more than I did at first. My first three books were totally off my head, which was exciting, and they have a lot of drawings that I did myself in them. The third book was not my first novel, and that was about a part of my life, which was fairly exciting. So that took 360-something pages, but and that was tiring. But it was difficult going back and talking about yourself in the sense that it's autobiographical.
Yeah, so interesting. All right, so you can get these books, of course, on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Kenneth, thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.